Welcome back, everybody. Nice to see everybody. We are back. We are holding on Daf Chav Beis on Beis, and we have a brand new sugya to start, and it is a significant sugya that relates to a lot of areas of halacha and relates to a lot of areas of lamda. So I thought we'd just set it up today, and then over the next week or two, or we'll see how long it takes us to go through some of the details. But let's just lay out the sugya. It's a very manageable size sugya. It starts with the Mishnah Chav Beis on Beis till the Mishnah on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. It's really just one conversation. So a lot of inside stuff. So make sure you have a Gemara. Hakol Ksher Lichtov Saget. Everyone is kosher to write a get. Says the Mishnah. Afilu Cher Shotav Katan. Even a Cher Shotav Katan can write a get. Ha'isha kosev es gita ve'ish kosev es shovro she'im ki yimaget al b'chosmav. And also the Mishnah says a woman could write her own get and a man could write the receipt, which normally the way it works is the man gives a get, always the way it works is the man gives the get to the woman would then give a receipt to the husband so the idea that the man is writing the receipt which he's supposed to end up with and the woman is writing a get. That why does he need a receipt? The receipt for what? It's a receipt for? That's what you got to get. That you don't need to say. The Beis Din will know that or you have Edus Mesira. Let's say we'll take care of that with Edus. That's not the receipt. Doesn't help that. And why would the husband end up with that? The husband doesn't need a receipt for the ksuba. Oh, they get divorced, so there's a ksuba. Someone I just saw a Talmud of mine last night at a chasna, Rabbi Nathan Farber's wedding, and this guy told me a few years ago. He called me up and he said we can't find our ksuba. So he's married. So he called me up, told me he couldn't find his ksuba. So we wrote a new ksuba. We wrote a new ksuba dirk, so it's called. So I saw him last night. He said, "Oh, by the way, Rabbi, I meant to tell you, we found our ksuba." Like he said, "What am I supposed to do with it?" I said, "You got to rip it up, otherwise she could really fleece you. You know, she could collect twice. You don't want that." So I mean, she should never have to collect. But so when the husband pays the ksuba, so the woman writes a receipt and gives the husband a receipt that you paid the ksuba. So it would be most logical that the woman's the one writing the receipt, the husband's the one writing the get, because that's who's got to give it. The husband's got to give the get to the wife, the woman's got to give the receipt back to the husband. So the Mishnah's mechadesh. It's no problem if it works the other way around. If the woman writes her own get. Why? Shein kiyuma get al b'chosmav. Because the kiyuma get, the real way to make the get work is with the signatures. So as long as the woman's not the signature on the get, as long as you get real two aidim to sign the get, it doesn't matter who wrote the get. You could print on a computer and the get will come out. You know, 1,000 copies will come out. That's fine. It doesn't make a difference. The ksivas haget is not really all that important at all. The chasima of the get, that's really important. Now, there is a major machlokas throughout all of Maseches Gittin between Rav Meir and Rav Elazar. Eide chasima karti or eide mesira karti. What are the critical edim on the get? Are the critical edim on the get the edim that signed the get, or the critical edim on the get the edim that witnessed the giving of the get? If you had to right off the bat say, who is the author of our Mishnah? Does our Mishnah emphasize chasim, or does our Mishnah emphasize mesira? It seems like a no-brainer, right? Because what does the Mishnah say? It says the words explicitly, she'ein kiyum haget ela b'chosmav. The way we establish a get, and the way we're mekayim a get is with the chasimos. That is the shita of Rabbi Meir. That Rabbi Meir holds ede chasima karti. That everything depends on the chasima of the get, not the mesira of the get. Good. Now, back up a second. There are two halachos in this Mishnah. What was the first halacha in the Mishnah? So two very clear. It's very, whenever you have a Mishnah, it's always a good thing to do. They already made it a little easier for us. It used to be that the way Gemaras were printed is they would print all the Mishnayos in the Perek at the beginning of the Perek, and then it would then you'd have the entire Gemara of the whole Perek. So it was very hard to break up Mishnayos. It was very hard to like really compartmentalize things. But then when they printed the Vilna Shas, they did a big chesed for Klal Yisrael. They started breaking up the Mishnayos so that you could learn a little piece and then the Gemara on that. A little piece, the Gemara on that. Every once in a while, you see they made an error. Every once in a while, you'll have a Gemara that doesn't belong where it is, or you'll have at the first paragraph of Sanhedrin where they forgot to split it. So you have all the Mishnayos of the whole first paragraph of Sanhedrin, and then we have right then all the Gemara doesn't, and it's a giant Mishnah because they just forgot to split it. Whatever someone fell asleep at the wheel that day. So even within the Mishnah, it's always good to divide it up. And how many halachas are there? What's this Mishnah teaching me? So this Mishnah is teaching me two basic things.
I think it's three.
Oh, okay, what's the three?
It's one, Chereshot and Katan can write a get.
Good.
And one that a woman can write the get. And two, that three, that the man can write the
receipt. Oh, okay. I would have connected Ha'isha Kosevises Gita to the man writing the shover. Meaning, the point being that the person who's giving it doesn't have to be the one to write it, because the writing of the document's not what's important. What's important is whoever signs it and getting it in the right hands at the end of the day with proper signatures. So I would have connected those last two, but okay. But yeah, Enochinami, you could divide it into three very easily. The first halach of the Mishnah, also very clear, anyone can write a get. Cherishot v'katan, that means 9-year-old child, as long as he knows what to write, could sit there and write a get. Now, is there any problem with that, with a child writing a get? Meaning, if you're going to say that a child can write a get, what we're doing is we're de-emphasizing the importance of writing the get. Meaning, if the writing were a significant action, we would never trust the child wouldn't be able to do it. We wouldn't allow the child, if it created some sort of chalos, if the writing of the get did something halachically, had some sort of magical halachic pull to it, we would never have a child do it. We would certainly never have a cherish or a shot to do it. By the way, cherish, what's the taich? How do you translate cherish? So, deaf mute, right? That's what we normally say. The actual application of that, Bismanenu, is probably someone who's mentally disabled and is not able to take care of themselves. That's cherish. Nowadays, deaf people very often are educated, and you know, they can earn PhDs and they function very nicely. It used to be a person who's deaf mute, they never learned to communicate with anybody in anyhow, and they completely couldn't function. And because of that, that's what we call a cherish. Cherish is someone who can't function, is unable to care for themselves. There are a lot of levels. You know, there's a big, let's say, the autism spectrum is enormous. You know, there are people that are almost perfectly normal. Then there are people that are completely, you know, have very difficult times. So where do you draw the line? So Rosh Hashanah was telling me, you draw the line. Someone who knows that he should put on a coat when it's cold outside. If he has that basic level of dust, that he could put on a coat when it's cold outside, and he should wear short sleeves when it's hot outside. You know, the basic knows to eat when he's hungry. That's that basic level of dust, just to care, basic caring for themselves, would be enough to not be a cherish. But if someone's below that level of das, so such a person would have a din of a cherish. What's a shota? See, people mistranslate it. They think a shota relates to someone who has very low intelligence. That's not what a shota is. Shota is someone who's deranged, someone who's insane. They think they're a dog. They think they're Mashiach. That's a shota. I mean, there are people that probably didn't have a din of a shota that thought they were Mashiach. But you know, someone who does crazy things, just deranged, out of their mind. Right, that's a shota. So cher shota b'katan can write a get. That's telling me that the writing of the get isn't that important. Now, I mentioned before, machlokas are meir reb lozer, edi chasim makarti or edi mesira karti. There is a pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk says, when it talks about get, v'kasav la sefer krisos. You have to write a sefer krisos. Now, if you have to write a sefer krisos, so the way Rabbi Meir understands that pasuk is, it doesn't mean write. We don't care about writing the sefer krisos. What do we care about? Signing. So the kasav la sefer krisos doesn't mean that you have to write a sefer krisos. I mean, obviously it has to be written. I don't care how it gets written. If you throw up all the ink in the air and it lands on the paper with all the right words, that's fine too. As long as the chasima, as long as the signing, the Torah might as well have said v'chasam la sefer krisos, because that's the real mitzvah. That's the real din, is chasima. That's how Rav Meir understands. Rav Lozer says, no, you don't even need signatures on the get. Rabbi Lozer says, on a Daraisa level, the get doesn't have to be signed. As long as you have witnesses watch it happen, you don't even need signatures on a get. So what does the Torah mean when it says, because of the sefer krisos? So what the Torah means is the writing of the get. That's important. So you have this machlok, so Meir Rabbi Lozer, whether the writing is critical or not critical. Rabbi Lozer holds edim mesira karti, that the only edim that matter are the edim that watch the get, hold there doesn't need to be any signatures, and if there doesn't need to be any signatures, what does the Torah mean when it says v'kasav la? What are you writing? What you're writing is the get. So the writing of the get is very important to Rabbi Lozer. According to Rabbi Meir, the writing of the get is very unimportant. V'kasav la means, not writing, it means chasima. Good? So now, if the Mishnah is going to tell us a din, cherish shota v'katan, are allowed to write a get, and that de-emphasizes the importance of writing a get, who's the Mishnah going like? Who's the shita that tells us that writing a get is not all that important, that you can have a cherish shota v'katan, do it? Who would say that you don't have to, that you don't, we don't care so much about the writing of a get, that even the Cheresh of the Vekatim could do it? That's going to be the person who doesn't think writing is important. Who's the one who doesn't think writing is important? So Rabbi Meir, who says, V'chasam la, V'chasam means V'chasam la, says, writing is not that important. I don't care about the writing. And if the writing is not that important, so good. So then you can have even the Cheresh of the Vekatim do it. So our Mishnah would be great if it works like Rabbi Meir. Right? According to Rabbi Meir, we'd have no problem with our Mishnah. I'm mentioning all this because you can't read the first line of Gemara without having Rav Meir and Rav Elazar in your head, because that's what the Rishonim look at this, at the first question of the Gemara, through the lens of what's the Gemara assuming? Is the Gemara assuming that Rav Meir wrote our Mishnah, or is the Gemara assuming Rav Elazar wrote our Mishnah? What's the Gemara's first question? V'halav b'nei Dayaninu. The Gemara only asks one question. It's one question, three answers. V'alav b'nei dayanin, who, how could you have a cheresheta v'katan right again? They're not b'nei daya. They have no das. So what's the pashut answer? What?
If you're like
Rav Meir, who cares? They don't need das. You could throw up the ink in the air and it will land on the paper. That's fine too. Doesn't matter. You don't need a ma'isa k'siva according to Rav Meir. Who cares if the lav b'nei dayanin? That kasha only makes sense if you somehow think, or some way think, that the Mishnah has to fit with Rabbi Elazar. Or Rabbi Elazar, he thinks that ksiva matters? Well, how could these guys do it then? How could a cheresh of the Vekatim do ksiva? So that's the pashut reading of the Gemara, that the kasha is only within Rabbi Elazar. And if you look at this long Tosfos, it's kedai to work on. This Tosfos could be divided into three parts. In general, when you have a Tosfos this big, could either divide it, otherwise it's too intimidating. You start reading and you're like, oh my god, I'm only three lines into it, and it's like, I already am lost. So it's better to divide it into paragraphs. A big chesed for Klal Yisrael if we could divide these things into paragraphs. I remember when I was in Moresh HaKolel one summer, after my early missions year, we were learning Yerodea, we were learning Chulin in Yerodea, Bas B'chol Taroves, and there was a long, giant run, went on for like two pages, straight. And Rabbi Willig said, someone should do a great chesed for Klal Yisrael and break this run up into paragraphs. Because if it's breaking up into paragraphs, then you could it's a little more manageable. So this Tosfos could very easily be broken up into three basic paragraphs. Problem is, the first one is so long it's still unmanageable. But because Tosfos has three approaches to how to understand the question of our Gemara. Three basic approaches, what the Gemara is asking when it says, V'alav b'nei dayaninu. The first approach, what we're going to stick with now, because again, we're just setting up the sugya today. The first approach is, V'alav b'nei dayaninu, is assuming that our mission has to fit with Rabbi Elazar. Assuming that our mission has to fit with Rabbi Elazar, so, and therefore, ksiva is really important. How could we trust the Cheresh of Vekatim to do ksiva? They're not b'nei daya. They don't have any das. They shouldn't be able to do ksiva l'shma. And remember, when we say that ksiva is important, it means that it has to be done l'shma, because the Torah says v'kasav la, and we darshan, that means l'shma. La means l'shma. So they can't do it l'shma. That's the kasha. In Deya number 2 and number 3 of Tosos, he thinks, no, we're asking with even within Rav Meir. What's the problem saying that we're asking even within Rav Meir? The problem is it's not a kasha within Rav Meir. Of course we're going to allow Cheresh of the Vekatim to do it, we just don't care about ksiva. Okay, so Tosos has to work around that problem. What's the problem with saying that the kasha is within Rav Elazar?
Isn't a Stam Mishnah written by
Rav Meir? Oh, Stam Mishnah is, that's one problem with assuming that it's Rav Elazar. Why would you assume that a Stam Mishnah is going like Rav Elazar? Stam Mishnah is always Rav Meir. And this kasha only makes sense within Rav Elazar, right? So that's one problem with saying that this kasha is within Rav Elazar. What's the other problem with saying this kasha is within Rav Elazar? What else does the Mishnah say that sort of tips us off whether Eide Chasima Karti or Eide Mesira Karti? What's the last line of the Mishnah? Shein Ki Maget Ela B'chosmav. So that sounds more like Rav Meir's language than Rav Elazar's language. Rav Elazar says you don't even need signatures on the get. So the Mishnah ends off with the Shein Ki Maget Ela B'chosmav. That's Rav Meir Lashon. So you have a problem either way. If you're going to say that we're assuming the Mishnah is going like Rav Elazar, you have a problem. What's the talking about Chasimos at the end for? Right? And plus that Mishnah Rav Meir. If you want to assume that the Mishnah is going like Rav Meir, well then the kasha makes no sense. According to Rav Meir, how could a Cheresh of Vekatim write a get? Anybody could write a get. Anything can write a get. A get could be written with magic. It doesn't matter. The writing just doesn't matter, according to Rav Meir. So you run into trouble either way. But let's read it pashut the way Tosfos originally reads it, the first day on Tosos, Balav b'nei Deya ninhu. They are not b'nei Deya, which is a kasha on Reb Lazar. If you, Reb Lazar, hold ksiva so important, and you need ksiva l'shma, can a cher shotav katan accomplish ksiva l'shma? How many mitzvahs are there that we need l'shma? Where else do you need l'shma? See, most mitzvahs we say that you miss six kavana, that you're having in mind to do the mitzvah, or, you know, it's a discussion when you need kavana to serve Hashem with this mitzvah. But l'shma means like a more pointed kavana. Like you know that it's not just that I'm serving Hashem, it's I'm doing this l'shem, like by get. What does l'shma mean? I'm doing it l'shem what? L'shem serving Hashem when I write a get? Is that what I have to have in mind? What does l'shma mean? L'shem the people, right? This guy, this woman, and this should be used for divorce. That the document should be used for a divorce of this man and this woman. That's what l'shma means. Where else? What other mitzvahs we have a special din of l'shma? What do you say? But matzah the first night, right? You need matzah. You ever visit a matzah bakery? The people are saying l'shem matzah's mitzvah, or mitzvah's matzah, matzah's mitzvah, whatever. L'shem, they're saying l'shem the mitzvah, because the matzah that you're yotzei, that you're makayim the mitzvah of achilas matzah with, has to be done l'shma. So whenever you need l'shma, is like a higher level kavana. Ksivas stam has to be done l'shma when you're writing sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzas. You have to write it l'shma. So, anything that you need l'shma, it's going to be a question, how can a child accomplish that? Meaning, l'shma makes it a chefta shel mitzvah. That this matzah is only kosher, it's a chefta shel mitzvah of matzah, if I do it l'shma. This get is only kosher to use for a get if it was written l'shma. And a kid can't do that, neither can a cherish or a shota. So, says the Gemara, three answers. Answer number one is, Amar Rav Huna, V'hushaya gadol omer al gabav. And that's the answer I'm going to want to focus on more than any other. V'hushaya gadol omer al gabav. What does that mean? Gadol omer al gabav? You have an adult watching him. He has adult supervision while he's writing the get. And therefore, it's lishma. How does that sentence make sense? Because there's an adult supervising while the kid is writing a get, does that make the kid smarter? What's the chisarn of lishma? Kid can't do lishma, or a cheresh can't do lishma, a shota can't do lishma. Why? Because he doesn't have the intelligence, doesn't have the das to be able to do lishma. So when an adult is watching him, he becomes smarter? What does that mean, gadol omer al gabav? How does it work? So you look at Rashi, right? Rashi is a logical place to look. So what does Rashi say? Rashi tells us, v'ushay gadol omer al gabav, V'omerlo, k'sov l'tzorech ploni. What's the gadol? He's not just standing there watching him. He's telling him, make sure you do this l'shem this man, this woman. He's getting in his head, he's getting in his ear. He's telling him, you have to have in mind these people. When you write this, you need to have kavana l'shma. So the way Rashi understands it, why does the katan have the ability to do l'shma all of a sudden? Because that's all he's hearing. Meaning, the katan lacks focus, let's say. It's not that he's unable to think about l'shem this man, l'shem this man. He's able to think about that, but he lacks focus. And when he's not being watched, he may not be focused on that man. That woman, he may just write whatever he writes and mindlessly do it. But if you're in his ear and you're telling him, so then he's able to focus. So does the katan actually become smarter when you're... Yeah, sort of. He becomes much more focused. He becomes much more focused on this job, and that raises the katan to a l'shma. So the katan is now having kavana l'shma. Shota? Cherish? See, Rashi is easy to translate when you're talking about a katan. Gadol omer al gabav. You have an adult with das telling him, do it l'shma. You could tell a cherish to do it l'shma. He still won't hear you. He's deaf. So what does that mean? Okay, you're writing it for him. You're writing it out for him. Do it l'shma, do it l'shma. Okay, what about a shota? He's deranged. He thinks l'shma means, I don't know, popcorn. I don't know. He has no idea. He doesn't make connections. He doesn't.
Maybe you said that there, you were right. So, they obviously can do something. So, what you're pointing out to him is, oh, this that you're writing over here is the name.
So very good, Svara. If they're able to write, it tells you something about them already. It tells you that they're almost there. So maybe getting into their head and saying l'shma with the combination of the fact, Stam Shota off the street, to just tell him, make matzah l'shma or whatever, and he's just chucking some dough in an oven, that probably won't work, right? Or Tvias Tzitzis l'shma, he's spinning thread, he's just playing around with some strings, sitting there in a corner playing with strings. A deranged person. Right? And going like this. See, you could scream, do a l'shma! That doesn't mean anything. He's not doing l'shma, he's just sitting there playing. He doesn't mean anything. But a guy who's writing words, and he's writing the right words of a get, and the right names. So that tells you a little bit more. So Tosfos already discusses that maybe get is different because of that. That maybe the Shota has the ability to get to that level of Kavanah Lishma because of that consideration. That he's actually doing something that requires intelligence and requires focus. Good. Is there any other way to understand Gadol Amin Al-Gav? Meaning the first way to understand Gadol Amin Al-Gav seems clear from Rashi, is that the Gadol by, and it l'chora, it doesn't have to be a Gadol. It could be a tape recorder. It could be another katan. It could be anyone who's just reminding him, do it lishma, do it lishma, do it lishma. Whatever will focus him, will get him focused. Meaning the point is that it's the child is now raised to that level of lishma. Is there any other possible understanding of what Gadol Amin Al-Gav means? But that's what Gadol Amin Al-Gabav means. Gadol Amin Al-Gabav refers to who then?
You're saying it could be any Gadol telling them to be the Shema, or it could be the actual two people writing it.
Okay, but the term Gadol Amin Al-Gabav gives the impression that it could be anybody, that it doesn't have to be someone specific.
That he just has the Shema himself, and that gets transferred.
Very good. Right, the other way to understand the Shema, and it's always good to have a simple chakira, and over here I think there are only two tzadim, it's a very simple chakira. The other way to understand the Shema is, it's not that the Gadol Amin Al-Gabav focuses the katan to the point where the katan can do it l'shma. The katan, the shota, the chesh, they have no das, they can't do l'shma. But there's a din that this maisa has to be done l'shma. So you know what? The katan will do the maisa, and the Gadol will do the l'shma. There are two ingredients that you need. You need a maisa, you need l'shma. The katan will provide the maisa, the Gadol will provide the l'shma. When someone's making matzah, so you need shmira l'shma. It needs to be shamar l'shem mitzvah matzah. So I could watch it, I'm watching it, someone else is making it, I'm providing the l'shma, he's doing the doing, and that's fine. Who says that the maisa and the l'shma have to be from the same person? So, who said? It's very logical that it should have to be from the same person. You're doing the mice of creating this object. So if you're creating this object, you got to do it l'shma, right? So this suggestion says, no, it's not about creating the object. It's about lending a sense of importance to the environment around the creation of the object. That how do we take this seriously? Because someone there is taking it seriously as it's happening. Doesn't have to be the person who's making it. Someone in the vicinity is taking this seriously. Can the Gadol Amin Al-Gabav be a tape recorder? Another katan? No, in that case it cannot be. It's got to be, someone's got to be doing it l'shma. Someone who has das has to be providing the l'shma. So those are two simple ways of understanding Gadol Amin Al-Gabav, but we see Rashi seems to be pretty clearly on the first side. That Gadol Amin Al-Gabav means that that you're giving the katan that ability to have kavanah l'shma. So the Gemara just asked on that. Amar Rav Nachman al-Me'ata Ovid Chavim v'Yisrael Amin Al-Gabav Hachinami D'Kasher. So then a guy should be. What does the Mishnah say? Who could write a get chereshot v'katan? A guy can't though. If the whole point of the Mishnah is that you're talking about a case where there's Gadol Amin Al-Gabav who's providing the kavana. And what's the Chereshot of Katan doing? They're just forming the words. So can't a guy just form the words also and have someone else provide the Kavanah? Yeah? So who says that a guy can't? Right? The Gemara is asking, wait, then a guy should be able to write. So that's the next line. And if you're going to say, okay, maybe you're right. Maybe a guy can write it. Gadol Amin Al-Gabav. No, Vatanya, we have a Braisa. Ovid Chavim Pasul. We have a Chereshot Braisa that a guy can't write again. So even though Chereshot of a Katan can with Gadol Amin Al-Gabav, a guy can't. Answers the Gemara, Ovid Kochavim L'dayte D'Nafshei Avad. He's working with his own das. See, the beautiful thing about a Chereshot of a Katan is that they're blank. There's no das there. So when you're Omer al Gabav, whichever way you want to understand Omer al Gabav, you're either able to elevate their das, channel their das, or you're able to provide das, because they don't have it. By the gadol, by a guy who's a gadol, he has his own das. He's an intelligent person. He's an adult. He's sophisticated. So you can neither channel his das, you could tell him do it lishma from today till you're blue in the face, but he's not listening because he makes up his own mind. Or you could try to be providing das, but when does providing das work? When there's no already existing das in the person doing the maisa. But if the person doing the maisa already has his own das, so his das is going to win. Whose das is more important? The guy doing it or the guy standing there watching? Obviously the guy doing it. So it's only when the guy doing it has no das, the guy standing there watching can provide das. But if the guy doing it has das, the guy standing there watching it can't provide the das. Ah, good, very good enough to me, right? What if you have a non-Jewish katan? So he has no das. You can't say midaiti dinav shavat. The question is, also an interesting related question is, at what point do we assume a guy becomes a bar das? The concept of bar mitzvah, and we become 13 years old, all of a sudden you have das. Which, if you know many 13-year-olds, I don't know. I mean, we should probably adjust the age at some point. But the concept at 13 years old, okay, so we learned it out that there's a din that you become a bar mitzvah. Does that apply to goyim also? Does a guy become a bar das at the age of 13? Should we make like some sort of celebration that he, you know, is it like a special birthday for a non-Jew from a Jewish perspective? So that's a big discussion in the Achronim. It's not abundantly clear when a guy becomes a bar das. He obviously does because they grow up and they become intelligent adults. Right, you'll see in your business lives you're going to meet some very smart goyim. I know people who went to very frum yeshivas growing up, and they were always told goyim are all stupid. And then they went into the business world, and it turned out that they were lied to. So obviously, at some point they become bar das, but at what point? Is it earlier? Is it later? Is it based on the kid? Maybe there's no magic number. Maybe there's no shtei saros. Like, how do you determine? Okay. But you're right. If the whole point of a guy, the reason that a guy cannot write a get is because his own das ruins it, so then a guy who's a katan should be okay. He doesn't have his own das. That's what it would sound like. Is there any other svar? Is there any way to say otherwise? That a guy who a katan would not be okay? A katan guy would not be okay? Is there any svar to say otherwise? So the whole reason why a guy is not okay is because the daite did nafshe avad. So the daite nafshe avad means he has his own das. Maybe it means something different than he has his own das. It sounds like it means he has his own das, but not just that he has his own das, and therefore it doesn't matter what you're telling him. Maybe it means he has like a rebellious streak. Like, he's not going to be kafuf to you. He doesn't do what a Jew tells him to do. He does what he wants to do. A Jewish kid knows he's supposed to do what he's told by the rabbi who's standing there telling him what to do. But the non-Jew is not going to be kafuf. He's not going to subjugate himself to the instructions of some rabbi who's telling him what to do. Maybe it's not about das per se, it's just about willingness to conform to whatever he's being told. If that's the case, maybe a guy katan is not so willing to conform to whatever he's being told. He's a guy, he doesn't want to listen to the Jew. Maybe, but pashtus is like you said. Right? All of that is answer number one. Again, just keep focus on the one question, three answers. The question is, a shecher shot of a katan has no das, how could they do ksivas haget? Answer number one, gadol omer al gabav, which is a massive ukimta. That's saying that our Mishnah told us, anyone can write again, no problem, shecher shot of a katan, as long as there's an adult there watching. The Mishnah didn't mention that, but that you have to stick into the Mishnah. There's got to be an adult there watching. Parenthetically, what also needs to be discussed, there are like eight different answers in Achronim to this question. How does a get work? Husband has to give a get to the wife. Does the husband need to own the get when he gives it to the wife, before he gives it? Husband definitely needs to own the get. Why is the woman allowed to write it? She could write it and then be maknet to the husband, because they can make transactions. So the husband will own the get. He has to own the get and then give it to the wife, right? So he needs to own the get. On the first day of Sukkot, father comes to shul with his child, with his lulav and esrog and child. Child is 7 years old, likes to shake the lulav. So, who should shake the lulav first? Father or son? There's a reason I'm asking this, I didn't just like jump to a different topic. Father or son, who should shake the lulav first? What's the halacha? Father. Why the father? Son can't give it back. See, the son has the ability to make a kinyan. He can acquire something when there's a das acheres makna, when someone's giving something to him. On his own, he can't make kinyan. If a child, let's say, finds a metzia on the street and he picks it up, midaraisa, he has no kinyan in that. Midaraisa, he hasn't made a kinyan because no one was giving it to him, he just found it. And therefore, midaraisa, you'd be allowed to go over to that kid and say, hey, where did you get that nice watch from? That looks expensive. And he'll say, I found it on the street. Like, oh, great. And grab it out of his hands. And that's not stealing. Because he has no kinyan. He doesn't own it. Midaraisa, you could do that. Midrabanan, they realize it's not so nice. So the kid's father's probably going to punch you out if he finds out you did that. So it's probably not such a good idea. So midrabanan, we let the kid make a kinyan on the mitzvah. But midaraisa, he can't make a kinyan on his own. If you have a das acheres makne, you have someone give something to him, so then he can make a kinyan on a daraisa level. So you're going to give the kid the lulav and esrog, father giving it to the child. Child is kona it. It's now his. He's being yotze in the midst of dal minim. But now what? The child cannot be makna something. He can't give something back to somebody. Something that's his, he can't be makna to somebody else. So the father will never own it. And on the first day of sukkahs, at least, you need lachem. The dal minim have to belong to you. After the first day, it doesn't need to belong to you. Kachtem lachem. Next words in the pasuk are peyom rishon. Right, it's only on day one that you need lachem. But the rest of the days, you don't need lachem. So, on the first day of Sukkot, so the father's got to take it first. Fundamental question all the Achronim ask for here. Cheresh hotev katan, child's writing the get. Who owns the get? If the child's writing it. So there's another bit of information over here. There's a concept in Bamitzia called Uman Kona Beshvach Kli. Let's say I give some material to a tailor to make a suit out of. There are people that do this, businessmen who go to China on business. Very rich businessmen do it here in New York, where tailors charge a lot of money. But there are people who go to China, and you know, for like $10, you buy some material, and they'll custom make a suit for you. So you can have the fancy buttons that unbutton on the sleeves and all that. Right? So they'll make a suit for you. I get my brother-in-law's hand-me-downs. He has a bunch of these Chinese suits. So they'll make a suit for you. So you give him a bunch of material, he makes a suit. Who owns it when he's done making it before you've paid for it and taken it? So the tailor owns it. Why? Because uman kona b'shvach kli. When someone takes something and improves it and changes it and does something to it, he makes a kinyan in it. It becomes his through the work that he's doing on it, through the improvement that he's making to it. Child takes a piece of paper, takes some ink, writes a get. Who owns that get? So if you assume uman kona b'shvach kli, l'chora, the child owns the get. Because he has improved it. He's taken a blank piece of paper, which cannot be used as a get. He's taken a bottle of ink, which cannot be used as a get, and he's turned it into a get, which can be used. Because I call Ksher Luchtov as a get, Ksher Shodav Kat. So he's kona the get. So how does the husband ever use it? How can you ever have a situation, a case, where the child writes the get, and then the husband's going to use it? So is a katan able to make something hefka? That's a good question. I'm not sure what the answer is. It can't be makna. It may relate to the discussion about hefker. How does hefker work? Is hefker a kinyan or is hefker a silu? Meaning, is it like I'm makna it to the world? Now anyone could be the one to take it, which may relate to hefker beis din hefker. There's a discussion when we say hefker beis din hefker. Does beis din have the right to say something that you have isn't owned by anybody, or do they even have the right to do more? To say that something that you own now belongs to somebody else. Right? Can hefker even be a kinyan? But you're right, maybe if it's true that a katan can make something hefker, that would work, l'chora. I don't know if it is true or not, I don't know what the halacha is. Not so strong in the nezikin, I don't know. We have to look into that. I was thinking just out loud, before we get to what all the acharim say, we'll get to at some point this week, but what about a kid who writes a get the day before his bar mitzvah? And they'll use the get the next day. Does the get have to be written on the day that it's given? tasting. I let the kid write it the day before, and then they'll use it afterwards. The katan will be makdin when he becomes a gadol. That would work, b'chara, right? Okay, but that's a major kasha that all the achronim ask. So again, back to us. Question number one: Cheresh Adav Kadin. How in the world could they write a get? They have no das. They're not going to be able to do k'siva l'shma. Answer number one: Gadol Omer al Gabav. Answer number two: Hadar Amar Rav Nachman. Five lines in Chav Gimel Amar Aleph. Lav Milsi Da Amri. Dimi the Kapasul Eilovid Chav Milin Yavam Mechal Dilin K'siva Kasher. Says, you know, a guy is allowed to write a get also. I Vatanya Avik Chav Pasul. But didn't we say a guy? We have a brayse that says a guy is pasul to write a get. He says, yeah, we did say that a guy is not allowed to write a get, but that's only if you hold like Rabbi Lazar. If you hold like Rabbi Lazar, a guy is not allowed to write a get, because remember, Rabbi Lazar is the one that holds that writing is important. But we're talking within Rabbi Meir. What? I thought we said we're talking within Rabbi Lazar. The Gemara's Kasha, how can a cousin write a get, was only Kasha according to Rabbi Lazar. So what's Rav Nachman's essential answer over here? That our Mishnah is going like Rav Meir, so the Kasha is not a Kasha. Right? That we're going like Rav Meir, and therefore it's not a Kasha. Our Mishnah assumes Eidei Chasim Makarti, so why could a Cheresh Adav Kadin write the get? They could write the get, because anyone could write a get. They give writing of the get, it's not that important. That's answer number two. The problem with that answer is, if you're saying that our Mishnah is going within Rav Meir, isn't it Pashut that a Cheresh Adav Kadin write it? Do I even need a Mishnah to tell me Cheresh Adav Kadin write it again? I mean, answer number two is, Cheresh Adav Kadin by anybody, it doesn't matter. The get could be written by itself, it doesn't matter, because we're assuming like Rav Meir, who holds that the Ksiva doesn't matter. That's answer number two. Okay. Now, if you learned the original Kasha as within Rabbi Meir, then you're going to have a hard time explaining answer number two. If somehow you learned that the Gemara was asking, even within Rav Meir, Cheresh Adav Kadin still shouldn't be good. So what's answer number two? Well, oh, no, this is Rav Meir. We knew it's Rav Meir, and somehow we still asked the Kasha. But we're okay with this because we understood the Kasha, like Tosa's first way of understanding the Kasha. Kasha is within Rav Lazar. According to Rav Lazar, that the Ksiva is important. How could a Cheresh Adav Kadin do it? Answer number two is, no, our Mishnah is assuming like Rav Meir, that Ksiva is not important. Okay, good. Answer number three, about 7-8 lines before the Mishnah. The Gemara has a parenthetical discussion. That's why I'm skipping. The parenthetical discussion of a bunch of kashas. How can you say that ksiva is not important? How could a mayor ever say ksiva is not important? Or of Nachman ever paskin that ksiva is not important? We have a whole bunch of Mishnais that sound like they say ksiva is important. And the Gemara keeps answering, oh, they mean chasima, they don't mean ksiva. Okay, we have a pasuk says v'kasavla, sounds like ksiva is important. Nah, it means chasima, everything just means chasima. That's the parenthetical discussion, but let's keep focused on what the real discussion is. Third answer, Rav Yudam Rishmuel, v'ushashir makom atoref, v'chedam rav chagam eshmedu ula, v'ushashir makom atoref, rav blazerhim. When we say that a cheresh adav kadin can write a get, there are two parts to a get. There's the basic form of like the language of the get, and then there's the important information of the get. What's the important information of the get? Date, place, name of man, name of woman. That's really important. The other stuff is just, you know, the basic language of the get that you have to have. So when we say Cheresh Adav Kadin can write a get, it doesn't mean the important stuff. Of course they can't write the important stuff. That stuff needs to be done with Kavana Lishma. The less important stuff. They could draw the nice designs around it if they want. You know, they could write the language that you need to write. That they could do. But the important stuff, they can never do. That's answer number three. Now we're going to have to figure out which answer we possibly want. Because what answer number one and answer number three have in common is that they're both assuming like Rav Lazar. Answer number two assumes like Rav Meir, that they did Chasim Makarti. Right? What's the difference between answer number one and answer number three in halacha? Well, where are they arguing? Answer number one assumes that it's possible for a Cheresh Adav Kadin to write even the important stuff. How? Gadol Omer al Gabav. Answer number three might be assuming Gadol Omer al Gabav doesn't work. And that's why we need to say whatever the Cheresh Adav Kadin are doing isn't important. They're just writing the less important stuff. why do I care so much whether Gadol Omer El Gabov works? I care about it not so much because of the sugya in Gittin, because you know what? Even most Gedolim aren't writing Gittin. You need Sofer Gittin to write Gittin. You need training to write a get. But you know what Ketanim can do? They can visit a matzah bakery, and they can bake matzahs, and they can put the matzah in the oven with a Gadol Omer El Gabov. And then they can bring it home to mommy and daddy. Can you use that for the mitzvah? You know what else Ketanim could do? They could sit in little sweatshops in China spinning threads for tzitzis. Well, Gadol Omer El Gabov. Oh, okay, that's Chinese, you know, children. But let's say in Israel, little sweatshops in Israel, spinning threads for tzitzis. So you have a Gadol Omer El Gabov. Will it work for that? So I need to know: do we pass them like number one and number three? And what we're going to need to find out is: is there anywhere else in Shas where Gadol Omer El Gabov works? Yeah.
According to the third answer, for the non-important stuff, would they still need Gadol Omer El Gabov?
No, the third answer doesn't touch Gadol Omer El Gabov. Says, you don't ever need it, and it never works. So the because the part that the Cheresh of Vekadim are writing are just not important. They don't need to be Lishma. When it says Vekasav Lishma, means the important stuff. That's the only part that really needs to be done Lishma. Good, that is the basic setup of the Sugya, and we'll tomorrow Tosos. Tomorrow we'll start on Tosos. So you got your work cut out for you. Lishma Tosos. If anyone has time for